Drink up, baby. Fantasy Football Happy Hour is here to get you wins and have some laughs. Matthew Berry here, and my podcast, Fantasy Football Happy Hour, has the sleepers, busts, and starts and advice you need to win your league. We're diving into the tape, we're crunching the numbers to bring you sleepers, busts, weekly starts and advice. Whether you're defending a title or desperately avoiding last place, I've got you covered every single weekday. The bar is open. It's Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's talk everything Celtics. Joining us now on the Harbor One Hotline, as he has throughout the Celtics playoff run, national NBA writer, and of course he's all over the Celtics as well, Gary Washburn of the Boston Globe, Aggression Fourier. Gary, thanks for the time. Good morning. How are you?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
We're good. Now that the dust has settled a little bit and the Celtics ended up losing Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals, Gary, you've had a little time to decompress, to breathe, to think about it a little bit. Do you have sort of an overall takeaway now that you've had some time to stop down to sort of put this season into context?
Well, it was just a team that obviously got a gut punch early with the suspension and dismissal of Udoka and had to kind of run up, you know, get it together on the fly and, you know, had to deal with a change in philosophies in terms of their approach. And I thought did a pretty good job until the time really counted in the playoffs, and a lot of their weaknesses that they had been good enough to play through and good enough to win with were exposed, especially by Miami. And that's why one team wins the championship. Denver's going to try to do the same thing to Miami in this NBA final series. Miami's going to try to do the same thing to Denver, expose all their weaknesses, exploit them. And the Celtics just weren't quite on the same page throughout the season. And personnel-wise, they had some flaws that were never really addressed, and it cost them.
So the personality flaws, it's the same kind of personality flaws that ultimately I think a lot of people looked at last year. And you would think that, they would be able to identify that themselves and kind of fix it, but they didn't. So I guess the question is, like, do you think they'll ever change?
Well, I do think that there'll be some harsh, hard discussions about how to improve and get to that next level, and it's going to have to take changing. Yes, I mean, you're going to have to figure this thing out. You can't be so reliant on three-pointers. You've got to learn how to score better in the paint. You've got to make a full commitment to defense, because this is the window. The championship window is right now. And the Celtics will be one of the top teams favored to win it all next year. They have a good team coming back. They have good players. Now, could they use some improvements, enhancements in certain positions? Of course they could, to make them, even better. But I think they have a lot to work with, but they're going to have to change, Christian. They're going to have to become a more defensive-minded team. They're going to have to figure out how can we win when we're not shooting the three-pointer well? Why are we going through these lackadaisical moments in games? Why can't we beat opponents we should beat consistently? They've got to take the next step to a great team. They're a good team. They were a very good team throughout the year, but they're not great. And it takes a great team pretty much to win a championship, or a hot team. The Heat are a hot team. They're very good, but they're a hot team. The Celtics never got hot during the playoffs. They weren't playing their best basketball when it counted.
Gary, that gets to the team building that obviously Brad Stevens will engage in. And I saw a big old Twitter string yesterday of somebody breaking down just how slippery a slope it is to give Jaylen Brown the Supermax contract, because it could push you into a different layer of the luxury tax, where it's $7 of tax potentially for every dollar that you spend. We saw what the Golden State Warriors did. They flipped part of the franchise and welcomed more people into the ownership group with a $276 million tax bill. So how much of that is going to come into play in terms of deciding who really is going to be here long term Is there enough financial wherewithal to have two Supermax players and add pieces that you need around those two Supermax guys?
Well, you're going to have to spend to win in this league. I mean, look at the Warriors. I mean, the Warriors spend a lot of money. You know, and you look at the salaries around the NBA, you know, Kyle Lowry makes $30 million a year. I mean, could you imagine him playing in Boston at that salary and the criticism that he would get from just coming off the bench and making $30 million? Like, you know, this is a league where the players are getting paid. The league is flourishing. The league is doing as best as it ever have, you know, ever has. And, you know, now you're going to have a new TV contract coming up to where there's going to be streaming. There's going to be Amazon, Apple TV, all these new interested parties and showing NBA games. So the league's going to get richer, right? So the Celtics and all the franchises who want to be successful are going to have to come out of the pocket. And, you know, the question is, does this ownership group really want to come out of the pocket, be these kind of repeat tax payers? And yeah, and it's going to be expensive. You know, there's no question about it. But that's what happens when you draft two guys in back-to-back years who both make it all NBA. That's why, you know, players get traded. That's why, you know, all this player movement in the league, because these guys can become expensive, especially when you're not winning championships. That's why I think if you get a title or two out of this, it makes it worth it for the ownership group. When you keep losing in the Eastern Conference Finals, it gets frustrating. So I think, yeah, they're going to have to figure out what to do with Jalen. I think they'll bring him back, and they're going to have to get creative. And then it's also relying on player development, you know, bringing up your own guys, taking advantage of the salary structure when younger players don't make as much money, and then they flourish. So you got to, you know, cultivate guys like J.D. Davidson. You should have tried to cultivate Peyton Pritchard. You should have cultivated the guys that don't make a lot of money to where they can play major roles on your team, because you can't win. And this is not, you know, Major League Baseball. You can't win loading your team with free agents anymore. The NBA is trying to prevent that. They're trying to make it add parity to where the Charlottes and the Memphises and the Indianas can compete with the LAs and the Miamis and the Denvers and the teams, the big market teams, the Knicks. So it's a tricky situation for the Celtics as it is for other teams. The Warriors have decided to dive in and pay. They want to win. Do the Celtics have that much commitment to winning to where they're going to have to pay $7-$8 on the dollar to add additional players when they're over the tax?
Whew. Man, I don't know, Gary. We were doing the math on that $7 for every dollar, and it's, I don't know if Wick wants to write that check. I mean, I know he talked, you know, earlier in the year about, like, you know, they're all in, they're committed, and that's what you want to hear an owner say. But, man, you really – what did the number come to, Gresh? Like 200, something like
– It was 276 for Golden State this year.
And Nick came in with the number for the Celtics. It was like
– Oh, no. That was the Golden State number referenced. Yeah, but to Gary's point, and Gary makes a good one, when you're winning championships, it's easy to do that. And then it's, oh, are we going to hold it together? Well, let's go sell 5% of the franchise, and we could find a way to bring in that $300 million and pay the tax bill. Whereas, as Gary mentioned, if you're in the Eastern Conference Finals and you got to make that call, fans will scream, spend, spend. All of a sudden, you've whizzed away, what, $400 or $500 million in tax and have nothing to show for it? Man.
Yeah, so Gary, I feel like it's obviously going to be a very, you know, fun, interesting offseason. And just want to touch on something that you said a little bit earlier as far as just things that need to change. And, you know, it seems like there, if you keep the team together, like, you're really almost like, you know, internally, you know, trying to change these guys, which I think is hard. I feel like the whole atmosphere in the group of five, call it group of seven, whatever you want to call it, like the main guys that play the majority of minutes in the postseason, I feel like that's stale. Like, I feel like that there needs to be like a new blood at some point in time. I don't know who the players are, because it's like the whole running it back mentality, even though if you have new assistant coaches, feels like you're just, you know, chasing your tail. I don't know what you think about that.
Yeah, either you feel like you're chasing your tail or you're going to make the improvements, and these guys are going to, like you said, improve internally enough to where you can just finally break down the door.
Yeah.
If you really believe that the core can improve more next year to break the door down, then you run it back. If not, you make tweaks, and you got to figure out what to do, guys. Like, you can't rely so much on the three-pointer. The team was 16 for, what was it, 77 from the three-point line in the final two games of the Miami series. And they couldn't hit the three, but they can't score in the paint. Miami, the one thing that what happens in the playoffs is that your weaknesses get exposed. And the things that you got away with during the regular season, you don't in the playoffs. Teams have a chance to scout you for seven games. They have a chance to look at you on film and figure out, okay, this is what they do and what they can't do. So the Celtics have to figure out how to score easier baskets. That makes their offense go. They have to have a more defensive mindset. They have to have someone, in my opinion, who can get into the paint, not Jason and Jalen, a point guard who can get into the paint and, you know, get to the rim, hit a floater, like, you know, you would say like a Chris Paul type, a guy who can play the pick and roll, who can shoot from mid-range, who can give them more of a presence in the beyond the three-point line, who can make it easier for Jason and Jalen. It's to the point now where you don't want Jalen being a playmaker. Okay, that hasn't worked. Jason can be a playmaker, but you also want to get him, make it easier for him. So you need to add someone that makes life easier for them. The question is, do they think the Marcus Smart, Malcolm Brogdon combination make things easier? The point guard position is still an issue. And it's not that Marcus is a bad player. Marcus can maybe adjust positions, come off the bench, do something a little different. But they need a floor general. They need someone who can say, hey, you here, you here, you here. They lost they almost lost game six with a fourth quarter collapse. They lost game two with a fourth quarter collapse. But if they win game two, they win the series. Like, it's as simple as that. Like, the little things that they could have done to win the series, they lost in seven. And they were a better team for games, you know, four, five, and six. And then they were pretty much better in game two besides the collapse. Game one, they allowed a 46-point third quarter and then couldn't respond again in the fourth quarter because their offense collapsed. Like, this is happening constantly. So it's time for Brad Stevens, whoever, to address it. Because you can't keep going to the Eastern Conference Finals. This is going to get tired. Your fan base is going to get apathetic. You're going to get, oh, here we go again to the Eastern Conference Finals. Whoop-de-doo. Like, you got to break through this door now.
Gary Washburn of the Boston Globe. Got a prediction for the finals, Gary?
I mean, I think Denver's a better team. As I said, I thought Boston's a better team. I think Denver will learn from what Boston didn't do, and Denver should be in control of this series. But, you know, Eric Spoelstra is going to have some kind of funky game plan to keep Miami in this series. So I'll say Denver in six because I don't think that – I think Miami – I mean, Denver's deep enough to win this series in five, but I think Miami's good enough to sneak a win or two, and they're gonna come out with something tonight to try to get game one. So should be an interesting series.
Good stuff, Gary. Thanks for the time. Been great all postseason long. No, we appreciate it, and we'll catch you down the road, friend. Thank you.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys.
Hey there, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a new show. It's called Money Moves, and your money is going to move. We're going to help you make better financial decisions. We're going to call out the BS you're finding all over social media. We're going to give you actionable guidance to make your financial life clearer, less stressful. We're going to answer your financial questions and take the mystery out of your financial life. Follow and listen to Money Moves with Jill Schlesinger wherever you get your podcasts.